نعبدو ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي أمي وزواجه أمهات المؤمنين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد المعدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعليه البال والمرى اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعليه وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد
In this dunya, in the world, there are different types of human beings present in the world. There are poor people, there are rich people, wealthy people, and there are people on different levels. There are people who are extremely wealthy, there are people who are extremely poor. There are every type of makhluk creation you will see around you. And this is Allah's hikmah. Why is it the case? It's Allah's wisdom. Allah knows best why He has done this. And it's the job of the servant that he accepts every circumstance that surrounds him and to be happy with that. All of the dunya around us, any type of human being that you see, from the most wealthy to the wealthiest and the poorest of the poorest, one thing he definitely needs, doesn't matter who it is. And it's such a thing that without that, the human being, his life is incomplete. Even if he's extremely wealthy and he's got everything in the world that belongs to him, but if he doesn't have this one thing in his possession, then that poor soul, he is going to pass away in a bad way. Rather, he arrives to such a position that due to lacking that one thing, he puts his life on the brink. And a person even arrives to the point of suicide. Every type of human being, wherever you go in the world, is dependent on this one factor. Rather, to spend the life without this is hard to spend the life. He can't understand that how do I acquire this one thing, condition. Even the people who believe in Allah and those who don't believe in Allah, they try to work hard and make effort and research. How do we acquire this? And they adopt the means around them in the world to get this thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, good. So if you listen attentively, people use resources, different means, different methods that I need to get hold of this one thing in my life somehow or other. But you can't acquire that thing through your efforts. And that thing is essential for life. Without that, the human being cannot succeed. And that is for the human being to have peace in the heart, to be content in the heart, which we call sakina or sakoon. Sakina, to be content, to be satisfied, to have peace in the heart, that you can buy everything with money, but you can't buy contentment with money. You can't buy peace in the heart with money. Yes, you can go and climb the mountains, you can dive into the oceans, you can sit and swim in the rivers, you can sit in palaces on thrones. All artificial means you can utilize. You can use alcohol, you can use music, singing, lust. Your objective for all of these is I'll sit for a while and get, you know, a buzz. I'll get a buzz. Drink a bit of alcohol, get a buzz. Go to a bad place, feel good, feel high. Every type of person uses different methods to get this buzz. Maybe this bed, this mattress isn't good for me, so I'll get something more expensive, a very expensive mattress. Yeah, and people have these businesses, but even on that mattress, he can't fall asleep, he's still tossing and turning. Yeah, there was a person complaining recently. He was just telling us his circumstances. He said, "I don't know, there's a problem, I've got everything in the world, I can't feel go to sleep, I keep tossing and turning on the bed." He says, "I don't know, am I sick? I'm not sick, I don't know, what's the reason?" He said, "I can't go to sleep at ease." Reason is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept this condition in His control. Say subhanallah. This condition is Allah's control. Allah said that I didn't give you the dunya to give you this peace of heart. The dunya won't give this to you. It's not the cure. That person, he goes into depression, he's anxiety. This is a word that we've made really, depression, man-made. Yes, we call it depression. Rather, despite the fact that the person's got to the extreme position of his sickness, looking for the satisfaction. When he doesn't get that peace in the heart, they say, oh, he's got depression. He's got depression because he's desperate. Yes, that for example, someone says, I've got this sickness. Someone says that this is a disease he's got. But even we've seen that people are extremely sick, and even they have peace in the heart. People who are sick, who have a disease. So a person who is sick, who has got a disease, a physical sickness, doesn't mean that he has got depression. So sakina and peace in the heart is in Allah's control. You can't get it through the dunya. And a person looking for contentment, Allah Ta'ala has put hikmah here, that when a person gets tired of going everywhere in the world, he's tired looking for contentment. He gets tired, exhausted. Yes, he goes on a journey, he gets money, he puts wealth together, maybe I'll get contentment, maybe I'll get peace from this or happiness from this. He does everything in the world. When he gets exhausted, then he turns to his Rabb, his Lord, his Creator. And this is what Allah wants. That you get tired, you look through all channels and avenues, and then you come back to Allah, the Creator. Because that's where you're going to get it. So eventually, that when Allah keeps him pushing him and shoving him, and sometimes he's pushing him this way and that way, Allah says, my servant, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. Why do you run from me? Why do you run away from me? Why are you detached from me? You've tried all the things in the world that I don't like, all for peace in the heart. Everything you've done in the dunya. But even then you are desperate, you're anxious, you're nervous. Then the servant looks for sakina, then he finds Allah. So this sakina, my friends, peace in the heart, Allah says that if you want to find contentment, then come towards me. That's it. Why do you spend money? Why do you think that dunya will give you contentment? No, not at all. Contentment is just in one thing you will find, and that is, come towards me, return to me, Allah says. Run back to me. Alhamdulillah. Alladheena tatma'innu qulubuhum bi dhikrillah. Allah says, clear guidance. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. The very great guide, hujjat, Allah Ta'ala has made the reality come shine clear. The people with depression and darkness in the heart. Allah says, if you want contentment, then there's only one action. One action. Only that one action. What is that? Allah says, when you remember me, do my dhikr, you will get contentment. You will feel content. And you ask those people who practically, I've seen many people, alhamdulillah, practically, who they get to the brink of suicide, and then the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah saved them. I remember one story, one true event, very old event. There was a brother, and he was a big officer. This is Pakistan in the Indian subcontinent when I was there. And it's a true story I'm telling you. True story. He was a high-grade officer, qualified, professional. And everything he had in his life, he had everything. But one thing was lacking he didn't have. What was that? Sakina. He wasn't content. He didn't have peace in his heart. And that got him to such a position that he made a decision that, oh, I might as well give up my life. I told you, shaitan, he takes a human being and he makes the person feel that his life is a waste of time. Such a fantastic thing Allah has given us, our life. And shaitan makes him think it's a waste of time. So he went, he found a rope. You know our fans in the ceiling that circulate? Yeah, so he attached the rope to it, he threw it over and he put the noose around his neck. He put the chair underneath and he said, I'm going to kill myself. Suicide. He said, as soon as I put the noose around my neck and I put the chair underneath me and I put the noose around my neck physically, then Allah helps. Allah helps. He said, then a thought suddenly came in my mind, he said. A thought. Suddenly, he said, I thought that there was a person speaking some time ago in Nazimabad, is a place in Karachi, Nazimabad, and a big, big area it is, Nazimabad. He said, in Nazimabad, there was a Naqshbandi teacher some time ago. He's thinking this, that person. Hazrat Shah Sahib, rahmatullahi, great sheikh he was of the Naqshbandi order. He said, I remember that he was saying his name. He said, his name came to my mind. Okay, let me just try. Let me go to him first before I take this step. So he was on the brink. Yes, so he was thinking this while he's got the noose around his neck. He said, there was waswasa. He said, I've tried many things, taweez. I've been to sheikhs and teachers, jinnat and exorcists and black magic. He said, I can't get peace, contentment. He said, let me go to this wali Allah. He saw, okay, let me try this place. I've heard there's a wali Allah there. Let me go and see what he can offer. So he had this thought. So he took the noose out from his neck. Subhanallah. He's about to give up. He got off the chair, drank some water. He called his driver, called him out. He said, Nazimabad, there's a sheikh. Do you know him? He said, yes, I know the sheikh. He said, take me to that sheikh, Nazimabad. So it was afternoon time. And Hazrat Sahib, the sheikh, was sat after Dhuhr. He said, I went there, he said, Subhanallah. He said, soon as I went through the door, I didn't even speak. Soon as I saw the sheikh, the coolness came inside me. Subhanallah. He said, the coolness came inside me. He said, soon as I saw the wali Allah, the coolness came inside me. He said, what's this feeling I'm getting? What's this place? So I went there. He said, I don't know what a great sheikh he is. What are the manners here? What's the respect? How do I submit myself? You know, we think this is a sheikh and manners. Some people, they see they prostrate. You know, these stories of people in the dunya. He said, you know, just for drama. The tazkiyah, because they're not worthy of tazkiyah, themselves, those so-called teachers, they haven't got peace in the heart, so they make other people fall in the trap. So he said, this is very simple here. I said, assalamu alaikum to the sheikh. And he replied, wa alaikum assalam to me. He looked towards me, and he smiled when he looked to me. He said, suddenly then I felt a more attraction towards him. More attraction. The way the noose of suicide was around my neck, and where the love of Allah came into me suddenly. He said, in the company of the wali. So he said, I went closer to him. When I got closer to him, then a beautiful fragrance I smelt at that time, he said. It's a true story I'm telling you. True story. Then he said that I shook his hand, did musafaha. And mashallah, it was a lengthy musafaha. It was a very coolness in shaking hand. He said, how comes you've come? What is your name? I've never seen you before. He said, I'm very upset. He said, you're still upset. And he said, at that time he asked me, you're still upset. He said, right now I'm not feeling upset. Khair, beautiful event. He said, I was sat there talking to the sheikh, alhamdulillah. He said, well, I saw that people would come. They would say to the sheikh, Hazrat, give us bayah. We'd like to pledge allegiance to you. Teach us dhikr. I was sitting. What are these people doing? So the sheikh would teach them dhikr. Remember, Allah, they would be happy that they're learning dhikr Allah. Then they would leave. He said, I went forward as well. He said, sheikh, you know these people that you are teaching, can you teach me as well? What are you teaching them? Subhanallah. He said, I'm teaching them dhikr. Remember, I'm connecting them to Allah. But you have to do tawbah first. You have to repent first. When you repent, then a new lease of life comes. Because tawbah, when you repent, Allah has promised that all your previous sins will be forgiven. All the previous. La yashka. Jalusum Allah says. That all your previous sins. These are those people, when you sit in their company, the wali Allah, he never leaves empty-handed, the student, when he leaves the company of the sheikh. He said, this subject I heard many times in Jummah, Khutbah, do Tawbah, repent. But today the Shaykh taught me how to do Tawbah that day. That was a unique way he taught me, he said. He said, he shook me to the core. When he said, do Tawbah, repent, after that, all your previous sins will be forgiven. Forgiven. Not just this, Allah Ta'ala says, I'm Rahim, I'm merciful. All your sins, I'll forgive them and I will transform them into good deeds when you do Tawbah. Repent. He said, when I heard that, my heart, it was full of darkness. He said, I couldn't imagine. The tears started flying from my eyes, he said. He said, Allah, you will forgive me as well. And you will change my sins to good deeds. And you'll transform the sins into good deeds. Multiply. He said, that man, all life long I heard this and I had sins to the sky, to the mountains. A person. But for Allah, it's not difficult. Allah is not difficult for him. Allah wants whatever condition is dirty and pure, I want my servant to run back to me. And Allah says, I demand him to come like this. I love that person more who's sinful. You see, you know, like a mother, you know, when she has a few children, the child that's disobedient, when that child comes, she gives him more love, the disobedient child. She has more love. That she hugs the child, she gives love and affection. So he said, I did tawbah. He said, Hazrat Sahab, the teacher taught me dhikr in the heart. Soon as he gave me dhikr, my heart became alive with Allah's remembrance. Subhanallah. He said, then, forget death. Then he said, I had desire for life. Allah, increase my life. Imagine that person, just a while back, giving up. He said, I'm asking Allah for a longer life. Alladheena tatma'inna qulubihim bi dhikrillah. You have to try. You can go anywhere in the world, but you won't get peace in the heart from nothing in the world. Yes, you can, but when you get the dhikr of Allah, just stick yourself to the dhikr of Allah. Don't think money will come, wealth will come, I'll do this, I'll have to do this. Forget that. That thing can be useful for us. Only one thing can be beneficial for us. The remembrance of Allah won't just give you peace in this world, rather until the hereafter you will get contentment. This hadith, that most of all, the action that will save us from the punishment of the grave, there's no greater deed. Who's saying this? The head of the prophets, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The greatest deed, and remember the first test after death is the punishment in the grave, the challenge of the grave. The punishment in the grave, such punishment, that a person who wasn't careful of how to clean urine in this world, he'll get punishment in the grave. This hadith. That person, when he's lowered into the grave, that his ribs, they overlap the same time. The first moments. And in such a place, the grave, the Prophet ﷺ said many times over, that Fatima, you are my daughter, for sure. But remember my daughter, Fatima. That you must prepare for your own grave with your deeds, because you will go into the grave. What a great education the Holy Prophet ﷺ gave, using his daughter as an example. So he stated that no action is greater to save us from the punishment of the grave. No deed will save us more than the remembrance of Allah. That's so powerful, it will save us from the punishment of the grave. So my brothers, to change and improve is not difficult. Shaitan and his temptations, oh, you're sinful, you're dirty, you're impure, you do this every day, you do this every day, oh, you woman did this, oh, you man did this, don't bother repenting, you can't succeed. Shaitan tells us this, and he traps us and he tempts us to away from becoming pious. Oh, don't become pious, you'll go back your old ways. He's got all the tricks under the sun, and he'll put all the benefits of your sins in front of you. He'll spread out the benefits, and he makes you lose hope. Yes, and Allah says, don't lose hope from Allah though. Don't lose hope from Allah. You can lose hope from everybody else in the world, but don't lose hope in Allah, because we don't understand the extent of Allah's mercy. Yeah, so don't delay. To change and improve is so easy. There's nothing in life that is easier than to become pious. Nothing is easier in life. For example, you will have experience in the world, you will see someone who... extremely sinful person, and soon as he takes the company, the hand of a wali Allah, a pious person, then he gets the new lease of life. The real life comes to him. The real life comes to that person. The reason is another reason. There's another hint I'll give you, that there's a big thing here, is that we do ibadah, we worship, we pray salah, we pray tahajjud, we keep the fast, we do all worship. But despite that, you will see a person still doesn't have peace in the heart, not content. Despite worshipping. So here a person loses big time. I pray salah. Then why am I not content? I do this worship, I do this prayer. He says, I do dhikr as well. Even then I'm not content. I'm not satisfied. Why is this? There's a reason for this. There's a reason for this. One thing is to do with respect, and one thing is to do actions with disrespect. Ibadah, worship, that action, worship is accepted by Allah, which is performed with respect. Listen to my statement, what I'm saying. Allah accepts that worship. Amalu salihat, Allah said. Allah said, salihat. Inna ladina amanu wa amalu salihat. Righteous deeds. Not amal. So ibadah, worship with adab, with respect. Yes? So what is ibadah with respect and what is worship without respect? That's why a person doesn't have peace and contentment with his ibadah, with his worship. The ibadah with adab is that ibadah, subhanAllah. The worship with respect is that when you worship Allah after leaving disobedience, that for example, if you are disobeying Allah, you're sinning, and in parallel you're worshipping with your sins, then that ibadah is the ibadah without respect. Yes, in parallel you're sinning, so there'll be no effect of that ibadah. That salah will have no effect if you're sinning at the same time. So for the sake of Allah, to prostrate to Allah, there's a condition. You must come to me pure, Allah says, clean, pure. If I come to Salah, what did I do before that? Allah says, do wudu first, ablution, isn't it? Wash your face, wash your hands, wash your arms, and rinse your mouth, and put water on your nose, on your feet. Clean yourself and come to me, Allah says. Then stand in front of me and say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah says, then pray Fatiha. You will recite and Allah will respond to your recitation. This is a big position of Salah. High grade. There's no greater ibadah than Salah. More than 700 places there's instruction in the Quran for Salah. Prayer. Because Salah is such an action that it connects the servant to his Lord Allah. That's why it's 5 times a day. Salah. That's why it's 5 times a day. Officially, it's 5 times a day. But all day long, you can pray extra, nafal, voluntary, as much as you want. Allah says, because with the nafal, extra salah, you come close to me. So Allah has given you the opportunity. Allah says, my servant, and I meet my servant, and my servant meets me through salah, through prayer. Officially, Allah has given us 5, essential, compulsory. The rest is up to you. Allah says, you can pray as much as you want, nafal, salah, voluntary, is open playing field. Why is Allah given permission? Why do we pray extra? Why do people pray lots of nafal salah? For this reason, there's a taste. What's the taste? It's the taste of meeting Allah through salah. Interview with Allah, meeting Allah, introduction with Allah, connection with Allah through salah. It doesn't mean, oh, just pray salah. Did you pray salah? Yeah, I prayed salah. Have you prayed salah? Yeah, I just come back from praying salah. Oh, yeah, I prayed salah earlier and yeah, I prayed. What's that praying? That's not salah. Oh, I prayed salah. What's the emotion? Salah has to be established. Aqimus salah, Allah says. Establish salah. Not just pray salah. Establish. You are going to meet Allah, the Creator. He's making you prepare. He's calling you to His home, to the masjid. He's making you stand with respect. What are you doing all of these things for? For that introduction to meet Allah. And then you sin at the same time? And Allah says you do impure, dirty actions and you're prostrating to Allah at the same time? How can this be? Salah, that person is the person who prays Salah, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. He is the musalli who cleans himself from the sins at the same time, in parallel. That's the reason why after worship a person doesn't get peace in the heart. Because our dirt that's inside, we got hasad, envy, jealousy, anger, backbiting, fraud, deception, lying. What is there that we don't do embedded inside the hasad, backbiting, slander? Then how can we meet Allah if we've got all these things embedded inside us? Sins. What ibadah? How will we get content? How will we feel content if we have all these sins? So Allah Ta'ala says, Allah has stated that in the world you can get everything but you can't acquire one thing. What is that? The peace, sakina, contentment. That's one thing that's in my control, Allah says. And that's in Allah's remembrance. When you do dhikr of Allah, you will acquire this. Just like we're all sat here today for this purpose. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he drew a sketch of this, a hadith in Sahih Bukhari. The meaning of this hadith is, yes, and mashallah, you read hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam draws a scene because he knew that there will be people that will come with time in the later generation. So he drew that sketch for us to understand that when people will assemble in one place, subhanallah, like we are here, and when after they assemble, they'll only have one purpose. What is that? To do dhikr Allah, to remember Allah. When people gather, to remember Allah, that we will sit down today to remember Allah. Then what happens in that place? The hadith tells us is, so fortunate are we, right now it's happening. It's happened before and it's happening right now while we're sitting here. It's a fact. If you don't believe, then you are devoid. Because this is the hadith of the Prophet, you're not believing in it. So this is hadith such, when you hear this, you feel and accept that this is happening with us right now. Imagine this physically. That you have stopped all your work in the dunya, Allah has made us free, and Allah has given us this reward whilst we're sitting here. That sit in one place, gather together. People want to leave, let them leave. Allah seated us here, He gathered us together, assembled us. What happens now? Soon as you assemble, gather, your purpose is to remember Allah. What happens? From all four sides, Allah says, I'll send my special select angels to surround you. Imagine right now around us, special angels. The hadith, go and read the hadith yourself. From all four sides, the angels surround the gathering. Right now, we are surrounded by the angels. Believe it. We're surrounded. Imagine the mercies they bring with us. Yeah, all four sides, they've surrounded us. The angels, special angels. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, they don't just surround you. When the angels surround you, then Allah says, I like the gathering so much that my mercy descends and it envelops, seals that gathering. Allah, we are surrounded and sealed by the mercies of Allah. Surrounded by the angels, number one, and covered and sealed by Allah's mercy. Imagine how protected we are right now from everything. And what's this? What's the action? This is the action, dhikrullah, that gives peace in the heart. So we're surrounded by the angels. Allah's mercy descends, envelops us, seals us. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, that action that you can't get anywhere in the world. What is that? Allah says, that right then after that, that when I surround that group with the angels with my mercy, that sakina that you're running around the world, Allah says, allow the peace and satisfaction to descend into each person's heart. How lucky are those people who do this morning and evening every day in their life. Their morning starts with subhanallah, their morning starts with dhikr, then the sun rises and they're free from the dhikr of Allah at the time that the sun rises, subhanallah. Imagine, yes. Yes, and when the sun sets, they see the night at that time when they do again the dhikr of Allah. Their morning is like this, and the angels are surrounding them, Allah's mercy descends, and their night also when the sun sets, same way. So in the morning, Allah's sakina comes to them. So if their morning is like this, Allah's peace comes in their heart, and the evening is the same, then imagine what the hereafter will be like, those people. Imagine their hereafter. Let's draw that sketch now. It will be the day of resurrection. Imagine now, listen to the court of Allah. Nobody will be awake. People will be sweating on the day of judgment. People will be sweating and drowning in their own sweat. This is the hadith. People will be in a severe bad condition on the day of judgment. Day of resurrection. Judgment. At that time, when people will be drowning in the sweat, there will be a group of people. They will be sat on beautifully decorated thrones with their faces shining like the moon on the 14th night. Imagine all of the mankind in history. Say, Allah, who are these people? Prophets? Are they martyrs? Who are these jama'ah group? They're separate from us sitting on these thrones. I'm not taking these words out of my pocket. This is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read it. Read it. So what's the difference? If you want to understand, take the hand of the wali Allah. That person didn't just take the hand, but his practice started. So until you don't take the hand of a wali, a sheikh, he keeps listening. He becomes numb with listening. Keep listening. Let's go to a tour. Let's do it. But when you take the hand of a sheikh, he doesn't listen. He starts to practice what he's listened to. Starts to practice. Suddenly he goes one foot further. One step further. This is the barakah, blessing in the company of pious people. Pious people. This is the blessings of the pious people. So why should I give anyone else's example? I saw this in my own life. Look at me, I'm sitting in front of you. Was I like this before? No. I wasn't like this before. I couldn't imagine that 40, 50 years of my life were passed and I didn't do that action, that morning and evening, I did not sit in dhikr of Allah. Imagine that I didn't leave the bed. Forget Fajr, I didn't know about Salah. I didn't know what was Salah. I didn't know about fasting. What was fasting? I didn't know. Yes. I didn't know where was the masjid. I didn't know. What happened then to me? Yes. But Allah says, just one moment I went in the company of a wali Allah, my life transformed at that time. I'm talking about my own personal experience. Forget about other people's experiences. My own experience, I'm telling you. Subhanallah. Yeah, so why should I tell other people's stories? I'm telling you about my own story. So this was my intention, that Allah, I want to be content. Allah says, if you want to be content, then you'll only find it in that mud, the masjid made out of the mud wool, sit on the straw mat in front of the teacher, and you'll learn how to get peace in the heart. It was a straw mat, my sheikh. You know, chatai is they made out of straw, and it was broken. There was patches in it. Dry wools. Yeah, extreme heat. And my sheikh used to be sat in front of me. Teacher said, come sit down. Sit down, my students. When I used to get up, that all of the body, there were like ants and insects biting. That was the problem. What used to happen there in that place where my sheikh was? I remember those wounds out of the spiders, the insect. Beautiful cuts. And you never felt anything. You never felt you sat in the heat and the insects are cutting you. But we couldn't dare to be disrespectful that we'll move off the straw mat because our sheikh was sat there, the teacher. Subhanallah. Humble life. What was the reason? Because Allah Ta'ala gave us the contentment in the heart. Peace in the heart. Not just peace in the heart. And how did that peace come? Dhikrullah. Because my sheikh did dhikrullah and he taught it. Subhanallah. One great sheikh, in the era of Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, and he was a great wali Allah, great friend of Allah, and great karamat. Hazrat Nuri, why was his name Nuri? Because whichever place he lived in like a house with mud walls, yeah, with a straw roof. And people used to have lanterns in it, like oil lamps at that time, that generation. And that would give the light. But his house made of mud walls, that used to shine in the night like the moon and the stars. It used to illuminate in the night. And when he would speak, then mashallah, beautiful light, guidance would come from his mouth. That's why they kept his name Allama Nuri Sahib. Great sheikh he was. Why? Well, somebody asked him, Hazrat, what's the reason? He said, I don't know. All I know is this, that in my heart is a light, is full of light. When the human being's heart is full of light, then mashallah, everything around him, his life is full of light, full of nur. في قلبي نور وسمي نور واسني نور نامي نور دمي نور شري نور بشري نور لساني نور. This is a dua, isn't it? Constant, ongoing. That the nur on the tongue and your hand and your body, your hair, everything is illuminated when you, the Holy Prophet says, I'm taught this dua, then most definitely this result does come about. That me and you, if it doesn't happen, doesn't mean that it doesn't happen to other people. Subhanallah, a person, he is full of the nur, constant nur, great intense light, that is intense light, inside and outside that person. Tell me. So Allah's Nabi gave this dua, that after Fajr, you know when you come to Fajr time, do this dua that time when you're coming to Fajr Salah. Yes, so what time? That when you come for Fajr Salah, when you leave the house, then do this dua whilst you're on the way. That Allah give me nur, make my life in and out full of nur. So my brothers, don't waste our lives, don't waste your time. We're wasting our time too much. The person who's far from Allah's remembrance, he will lose out in this world and he'll lose out in the hereafter as well. Even in the hereafter, people will regret. There's another hadith now, I'll share that with you. Another hadith. That in paradise people will be sat down and they've got the rewards and they're in paradise and their counting's finished. Even there they're regretting. Why are you regretting now? You've got everything and you're in paradise. They'll say, we're regretting one thing. The people of paradise, what are you regretting? They'll be asked. They'll say that today we can see the rewards that other people have got for that action. That if only not a second in our life did we live devoid of dhikrullah, because today we would be on a higher status in paradise. So why did we waste our time in our life? Why are we wasting our time? They'll say them in paradise. That's why Allah Ta'ala said that don't do dhikr on your tongue. Alladhina yadhkuruna al-qiyama wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqi as-samawati wal ardh. Subhanallah. Allah has instructed us that not one second of your life should be free losing out from dhikr. You'll regret even in paradise. Don't waste a second of your life. Don't trust your tongue. Because your tongue can't remember Allah every second. It's not capable. Yes, Allah says, I want that person, whether you're sleeping, awake, sitting down, standing, walking, even if you're sleeping in your dream, but you should be dhakir, remembering Allah constantly in your life. How? Because your heart should be alive to dhikrullah. So how can you make your heart alive? Look, Allah says, why did I give you a heart? Why did I give you a heart? When your heart becomes alive, then it doesn't remain our own. It becomes Allah's. You're assigning it to Allah when it becomes alive with the dhikr of Allah. That's why wala dhikrullahi akbar, Allah says that every worship stays behind. Doesn't matter how many salah you pray. You can't pray all the time. No action can you do all the time, even while you're sleeping. But there's one action, you carry on doing it whilst you're awake, while you're sleeping, that's dhikrullah. And dhikrullah, a person can never be a ghafil, negligent. So my brothers, learn the dhikr of Allah. Learn dhikr of the heart. I invite you, fortunate are those people. Like I said, they listen and they implement what I'm saying. Fortunate are those people. We see there's a gathering, they're talking, we'll go and sit down, and we'll put our head down and listen. Oh, we'll do dua and go, what's this? When you leave the gathering, first do dua. Allah, what I've heard, allow me to practice that and learn what I've heard. Otherwise, I'll be including among those people. Summun bukmun umyun fam la yarjun. Their ears, their eyes, their hearts, their brain. Everything is sealed. Nothing descends, nothing goes, absorbs into them. They think it's a waste of time. The whole Quran, they'll just listen to it. They'll hear the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam. They'll hear all the stories, events, but it doesn't affect them. Nothing affects them at all. Yes, whatever they hear, those examples of the previous nations that were destroyed, we'll listen to those, we'll lie, we'll consume haram, we'll go around with our parda, hijab, we'll listen to music, cut the beard, shave the beards, we'll do all the sins. The objective, Allah said, I sent you to the world, all the events of the Quran, nothing affects us. We just listen, one ear or the other, oh, do dua for us and pray for us. That Allah says, I don't need your deen, your Quran like this. Such human beings, the Quran sends lanat, curse on those people. Remember this, those people, the Quran sends curse. That what are these people? They think that this is a storybook, the Quran. Do you think this is a novel? A Jack and Ori tales, that the Quran was just sent to you to learn about the stories of the previous nations? No, it's a warning. When a Muslim reads the Quran, his eyes should start crying, Allah, I also do these sins. Allah, I am also habitual in lying. Allah, I also commit fraud. Allah, I also deceive people. Oh Allah, I also backbite. And you gave big punishments to the previous nations like this. Haram actions, this is the punishment. Allah, to break your laws and to disobey, this is how you destroyed the previous nations. And will I do this again? Allah has given your warning a chance that maybe on this ummah, what a great reward Allah has given to Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has given us a chance, Allah has given us a chance, Allah has given us a chance, an opportunity, waiting, waiting. We're listening to Quran, no effect. We're listening to Quran, no effect. We listen to the Kitab, no effect. Like this Quran is not for us today, we think. This is like a story. We're just playing the tape. Just one thing, so Shaitan says, do this action, thawab, reward, reward. Forget reward. Reward is only on one result, when you make Allah happy. That's it. There's no thawab. Thawab is there. That's secondary. Thawab comes after you please Allah. If you make Allah pleased with your salah, then you will get the reward. Through the Quran, if Allah is happy, then you will get the thawab, the reward. First, please Allah. Thawab is secondary. First, Allah's rada, then thawab after that. First, Allah's pleasure. If you sat there like an idol, Allah said many times in the Quran that their ears are sealed. Are their hearts sealed that my words, my instructions don't absorb them? They hear stories and the events of the Quran, but it doesn't affect them. Still hypocrisy. Still sin after that. Still hypocrisy after that. Same those actions as before after hearing the Quran. Ramadan comes, and after Ramadan, we go back to our old ways. Same previous qum. What's the reason? Allah says, what's the problem here? Are these animals, these people? Are these animals? They're worse than animals that the Quran and Allah's deen doesn't affect them. Allah gave us Ramadan. Imagine our emotions. We had a buzz. We felt good. Taraweeh, we prayed, listened to Quran. We read Quran. We did everything. And then after that, we're monkeys and animals again after that. Subhanallah. What qawm is this? What nation of Muslims is this? Allah says. So let's pray that Allah Ta'ala makes our hard hearts cool down and soft. Allah is inviting us to learn my dhikr, Allah says. Learn my name. Do dhikr of my name. Your sicknesses will be eliminated. Your problems will be eliminated, Allah says. That no worship gives this result. The amount that in the Quran Allah has mentioned and praised his dhikr. There's no other ibadah Allah has praised as much as his remembrance, his dhikr. No other ibadah. No other action. Listen to this. But we don't want to learn. Why? I don't feel like it. I don't want to do dhikr. I have no need for it. I say, I don't want to do it. Shaitan doesn't leave that person. His nafs doesn't leave that person. Inshallah, there's no time today. Otherwise, I was going to go on to the next part of the subject. The how does nafs and shaitan affect us? Inshallah, maybe next time we'll discuss this point. That why do we do wrong? How do shaitan and our desires trap us? Look, listen to this. For example, you're on a journey. Let's say you're on a journey. I'll give you a small hint so you understand. So imagine you're on a journey, you're on a road, you're driving a car. And you see that the car, that there's a rock or stone in front of you. So what will you do? You'll stop. You'll stop the car, put the brakes, you get come out of the car, and you'll try to remove that boulder or the stone, the barrier, so that you can carry on your journey. Otherwise, or will you just stop? Say Subhanallah. You'll remove that obstacle. You understand what I'm saying? You remove the obstacle. If you're driving in a car and there's a big rock in front of you, then you have to go further. You'll stop the car, remove the rock, remove the obstacle, and then you can carry on your journey. Yes, the Quran orders us that I've sent you in the world with a purpose, Allah says. Yeah, listen carefully to what I'm saying. Allah says in the Quran, why have I sent you to the earth, human being? For what purpose have I sent you? Allah says, Allah sent us for one action on planet earth. One action. No other action, just one action, one duty. Allah says, my orders, you must practice my orders. End of story. Allah says, I'm sending you to planet earth, believers, Muslims, whatever I order you to do, instruct you to do, you must do that. That's our one sole duty on planet earth. We have no other action to do on while we're living. Say Subhanallah. Allah says, I'm sending you to planet earth, and when you live on the earth, when I give you my orders, instructions, whatever I instruct you to do, you practice that. And whoever practices that, Allah says, then Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, then you will get جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسَ نُزُلًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Imagine the result, Subhanallah. Just of doing that one duty. This is enough for us, just to hear this one verse. That my servants, after they come to the world, what do? The orders I gave to them, revealed to them, they practiced them, the instructions, they obeyed me. Allah says, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا جَنَّاتُ النَّزَلِ. Allah says, جَنَّاتُ adam, the highest level. Allah says, when you return to me, then beautiful, handsome faces you will have, and you will be sat on beautiful thrones. And then Allah says, I will be your host, and you will be my guest. You will be my supreme guest. I'll feed you, Allah says. And such rewards and treasures and gifts I'll give to you, Allah says, you cannot imagine for a second. And all of those will be according to your desires at that time, immediate. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And you'll be so immersed, enjoying yourself. You'll be in such a buzz. And people will ask you, do you remember the world you used to live? You say, what are you talking about? The world? I've forgotten all of that. Forget this dunya. I can't even remember it, you'll say at that time. Yes, and if someone will ask you that, do you want to go back to the world? Astaghfirullah, you'll say, back to the world? To that dirty place? Look how Allah Ta'ala explains to us that just one action if you do it. Don't do anything else while you're living. وَعَمْلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, whatever orders I instruct you to do, just practice that. So if we don't do that now, what's the reason for that? What's the reason for that? This is the reason. This is the reason. Allah's orders, instructions, why don't we practice them? Which is our purpose of life. So what we learn, the reason there's a barrier obstructing us, just like when you were driving your car, say Subhanallah. So the person who's got brain, he will stop the car, remove the boulder, so he can carry on the journey. You understand the example? Yeah? So, when I say, I want to pray Salah, pray Salah, and Allah says, come to the masjid, pray Salah in Jama'ah. Allah says, do Barda. The sister, why does she do Barda? Allah says, don't listen to music. Why do I listen to music? Allah says, don't drink alcohol. Why do I drink alcohol? Why do I eat haram? Why do we do those actions opposite to what Allah Ta'ala orders? Why? Why do we do this? What's the reason? What's the root cause? The root cause is, there's a barrier obstacle in the road. Doesn't let us do it. If you want to do it, then what you should do is stop the journey, remove the barrier, and carry on the journey. So how do you remove the barrier? How do we remove the barrier? Isn't it? You understand what I'm saying? So easy formula. So you move the rock, and you carry on driving the car to where you're going. So Allah's orders, instructions, there must be a barrier that's stopping us obeying Allah. What's that barrier? Allah tells us Himself. The barrier, the obstacle for you to obey Allah is just one obstacle, one rock. Allah says, remove that rock. I swear by Allah, all of your actions will become obedient to Allah. I swear by Allah, I tell you this now. The best salah you'll have, the best human being, inside clean, no anger, no envy. You'll be the best human being. Whatever Allah orders, you will obey and practice. Just remove that rock, that barrier, and carry on the journey. One obstacle, all of us have the same obstacle. And what is that? What is that? That is stopping us, preventing us from practicing. What is that obstacle? Our nafs, our desires. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Allah says, in purification, when you purify yourself, you're successful. If you're dirty, you're a failure. As long as you keep on obeying your desires, following your desires, whatever your desires say, follow. Whatever your nafs says, you do it. Allah's orders, you leave Allah's orders and you obey your nafs, that person will be wretched, ruined in this world and the hereafter, and never will he be able to practice Allah's orders. Never. Whoever obeys his desires. Nafs, what does the nafs do? Do you understand the point I'm making? The biggest obstacle for us is our own desires, our nafs. So how do we remove this rock of the nafs from in front of us? How do we remove this rock of the nafs? You can't remove this yourself, because you can never kill your own nafs, your desires. It will never be crushed by yourself. You can't do it. There's a very easy method Allah has given. What's that? That you must assign, hand over your nafs to somebody else. Hand over your desires to somebody else who can train and coach you. That I won't listen to my nafs, O teacher. Whatever you say, teacher, I will listen to. That's the solution. So you will learn to control your desires. Yes? And he will put the reins on your nafs. You can't do that. The teacher will help you. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah kunu ma sadiqina al-uduz. If you want to become a human being, you want to become muttaqi, fearful of Allah, do one action. Kunu ma sadiqin. Go and sit in the company of the pious people. Hand yourself over to the pious person, to the teacher. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Straightforward solution. Nafs destroys us, and assign your nafs, train it, whatever the teacher says, I will obey his instructions, and you will control your desires. Whoever doesn't listen, then he will listen and obey his desires. Yes, the nafs says today, Allah says, meet me at the tahajjud time. And my sheikh said, I must pray tahajjud. And nafs says, don't go. And you'll say, how can it be? My sheikh said, pray tahajjud. I'm going to disobey your desires today. Subhanallah. Then afterwards, if he obeys his nafs, then obviously, then that connection with the teacher is not there. Yes, the connection is not there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a complete formula and a syllabus of how to crush their desires, but we don't step forward. We say, life's fine, I'm happy, just go with the flow. We'll go to Jahannam after we die. But we don't do the actions, the tariqah, the method Allah has prescribed, how to crush their desires and improve ourselves. May Allah ta'ala give us all the ability to practice on what we discussed today. Ameen. According to the time, we'll do a little bit of dhikr now, muraqabah, silent dhikr in the heart. Very simple, very simple. Focus towards your heart, and we'll do this now. Focus towards your heart with the tongue of the heart. There's the tongue of the heart, the heart has eyes, the heart speaks, it listens, everything the heart does. It's not the heart that we think, the physical heart inside us, this piece of flesh. The real heart is there's a piece of flesh inside there, but spiritually your heart is functioning. With the tongue of the heart, remember Allah. And say, Allah, Allah, close your eyes, focus on the heart. And inside the heart, with the tongue of the heart, just repeat, Allah, 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 muraqabah, great dhikr of Allah. This is, in the hadith is stated, that the heart of the dhikr is 70 times greater than the dhikr when you do from the tongue. 70 times greater. Okay, close your eyes, focus on the heart, and do dhikr of Allah. Bismillah. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد يسوع اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وزلمنا حزلنا وجدنا خطونا ودنا كل سر اللهم إنا لذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور الشيخ زينة الشيخ وعليه وصحبه اجمعين بزحمتك يا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله